The year is 1957. President Eisenhower is starting his second term. The Frisbee flies for the first time. The 57 Chevy with its classic tail fins rolls off the production line, and the Cold War is heating up. B-52 bombers idle on runways, ready at a moment's notice to fly over the pole to strike the Soviet Union. But the gas-guzzling planes can't carry enough fuel to make the round trip. Enter the KC-135 Stratotanker, a jet-age filling station in the sky. The B-52 is still flying missions, and so is the Stratotanker. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, a KC-135 is in the skies over Iraq and Afghanistan, refueling bombers, fighters, cargo planes, even other tankers. Then the Air Force plans to keep them flying for at least another 30 years. They need to. There isn't even a contract to build a replacement. NPR's J.J. Sutherland took to the skies to see how the venerable KC-135 keeps going.
Captain Eduardo Buenviaje is 29 years old. That's a good 18 years younger than the plane he's flying out of McConnell Air Force Base in Wichita.
It smells a little funny. It was built before ergonomics, so, like, you know, things are in a weird position sometimes. But, you know, overall, like any plane you really fly, especially one so reliable, you learn to love it.
Despite the eccentricities of age.
It's conventional wiring or conventional control still, meaning everything's run by pulleys and wires and system. You turn the thing and it takes a while to go, or you just need to add a little bit of muscle.
Some things have been updated on the plane. New engines, new radios, new navigation. Although there's still a hole in the cockpit for the sextant they used to use. But one system hasn't changed. In the very tail of the plane, senior airman Parker McElroy is face down. His chin rests on a padded bar. His right hand grasps a joystick. He's staring downward at a long, thin, white boom.
That's fully extended.
The boom moves gently in the rushing air.
When we're preparing for contact, it sits at 10 feet. You want it to be at 30 degrees, which is about centered. Then as you got how many feet left or right with this gauge, it tells us where we're at.
McElroy flies by manipulating two small black wings attached to it.
Essentially, this is the exact same setup that was in this plane when it was built. The boom controls are the same. The retraction's the same. The tension motor's, you know, essentially the same. So as far as the actual refueling system itself, it's the exact same as it was back then.
The KC-135 is basically the same plane as the ultimate jet age icon, the Boeing 707. Clean, classic lines, modernism on the wing. But you can tell it was built in a different age. There are ashtrays in the plane, a plane that carries more than 31,000 gallons of jet fuel equipped with ashtrays. Of course, no smoking anymore, even in the bathrooms. Another KC-135 drifts up from behind. Today, they're practicing refueling another tanker. Senior Airman McElroy gently guides the pilot of the other plane. It's a delicate dance. Two four-engine aircraft mating at hundreds of miles an hour at 21,000 feet. The boom flies slowly as it reaches for its goal, a seemingly impossibly tiny hole in the roof of the other aircraft. The fuel is pumped out of tanks in the plane's belly and wings until... breakaway, breakaway. The tight tolerances of the boom's range of motion have been broken. The planes fall away from each other with stomach-lurching speed. A shutoff valve cuts the flow of fuel. The rear plane plummets. They're separated by thousands of feet in seconds. The KC-135 is in constant demand. One is in the sky over Iraq and Afghanistan 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Their refueling mission is vital. American planes simply couldn't fly the missions they do without them. Outside of Oklahoma City is Tinker Air Force Base, and a building 7/10 of a mile long and 1/4 mile wide. Lined up neatly in a row are a dozen or so KC-135s in various states of disassembly. They've been stripped down to their shining aluminum skin. There are heavily laden tables with struts and fasteners, huge pieces of metal that really look like they shouldn't be taken off of airplanes.
This is the aft terminal fitting. This is where this, what we call the milk bottle pin, fits into this pocket and holds the wing to the structure of the aircraft.
Steve Stoner oversees all the maintenance on KC-135s. Every single plane in the inventory has to come here once every 5 years, where they check everything. The skin of the aircraft, every flight surface, every nut, bolt, and screw. They're thorough. They have to be. In the 1980s, KC-135s began to blow up in mid-flight. No one knew why. They had to ground the whole fleet. They traced it to a pump in one of the fuel tanks. But Stoner, like all the engineers here, are supremely confident in their ability to keep the KC-135 flying, no matter what.
Are there things out there that we don't know? Sure there is. I don't think that we'll find anything that will personally ground the fleet. There's nothing we can't fix. That's my motto. If it's bad, we can fix it.
But the Air Force knows it needs a new plane. But that's not happening soon. At least two deals to build replacements have fallen through, and no new contract is in sight. The joke going around the Air Force is that the mother of the last KC-135 pilot hasn't been born yet. The reason there isn't a contract to replace the plane is simple and complicated. Simple, there's $35 billion at stake. Complicated, because competing companies really want that money. A Boeing plan a few years back was tossed out over corruption charges. Then a new contract was awarded to Northrop this year. That got thrown out over fairness charges from Boeing. The delay is just fine with senior airman, or boom, Parker McElroy.
I'm sure eventually they'll get to the point where it's all automated, like planes and stuff, but I hope I'm not around in that day because I like my job, but, you know, we'll see.
For the foreseeable future, anyway, his job seems safe. J.J. Sutherland, NPR News.
And if you'd like to see an airborne KC-135 actually refueling, we've got photos on our website at npr.org.